Please take your Bible this morning and open to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. This is a psalm of lament. This is David crying out to the Lord. This is a prayer for help. In trouble. Let me read to you once again this 13th psalm. It's a shorter psalm, but looking at verses 1 through 6. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. My adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. There are many times in our lives as Christians that we face deep sorrow and deep pain and deep suffering. And it's in our darkest moments, in our darkest days, that we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to think. And it's in our deepest moments of pain and grief that we may not even know how to pray. We may not even go to the Lord in these times of sorrow and pain and grief. We may feel like David, that the Lord has abandoned us, that he has forsaken us, that he is absent from us. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you wouldn't say so out loud, because if you do, as one has said, then maybe our Christian friends would look down on us. Maybe they would think that we're not spiritual, that we're weak, think that we may even have some unconfessed sin in our lives. What is it that we're doing wrong? Or what sin is there in our lives that must be causing such pain and suffering and distress? Or it could be, if we say that we feel that we have been abandoned by God, that maybe they would say, we're not even Christians. How could a Christian even think, let alone utter such words? And yet, in these times of deep sorrow and deep pain and deep suffering and deep grief, you can't get away from the fact that that's how you feel. That God is absent. That he has forsaken you. That he has forgotten you. That is you today. If this is how you feel, then know that you are not alone. There are many Christians who have gone through and will go through times of deep pain and deep sorrow, and they will ask questions such as, where is God in all of this? Or, God, why have you forsaken me? Or, Lord, where are you? Or, Lord, how could you allow this to happen? A great many men and women of God have felt this way and have asked these very questions. Many have gone through what is called the dark night of the soul. One great man of God went through this many, many, many times. It was Charles Spurgeon. This is how he opened one of his sermons from Isaiah chapter 41. He said, periodical tornadoes and hurricanes will sweep over the Christian. He will be subjected to as many trials in his spirit as trials in his flesh. This much I know. If it be not so with all of you, it is so with me. I have to speak today to myself. And while I shall be endeavoring to encourage those who are distressed and downhearted, I shall be preaching, I trust, to myself. For I need something which shall cheer my heart. My soul is cast down within me. I feel as if I had rather die than live. I need your prayers. I need God's Holy Spirit. And I felt that I could not preach today unless I should preach in such a way as to encourage you and to encourage myself in the good work and labor of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the problems that we have is we don't know how to lament. We don't know, or we are not taught how to cry out to God in these times of deep sorrow and unceasing grief and deep distress. We're told if we cry out to God, we're weak. Weak if we cry. Weak if we show emotion. Instead of being taught that it's right and proper to cry out to God in our suffering. So as we look at Psalm 13, this is a psalm of lament. David is in deep distress, and David feels abandoned by God, that God is absent, that God has forsaken him, that God has forgotten him. And the question is, well, what do we do in these times when we feel this way? How can we turn to the Lord when we feel that he has abandoned us and that he has forsaken us? This is what I want you to see this morning as we turn to the Psalm of Lament. We see how David responded and what David did when he felt abandoned and forsaken by God. And so this teaches us what we are to do when we feel this way. When we go through times of suffering and trials and painful circumstances. So this morning, I want us to look at our response. Number one, we are to cry out to God in all honesty. We are to cry out to God in all honesty. Notice that David begins this psalm by crying out to God. And would you please notice how honest he is as he goes to the Lord in prayer? And please take note. Even though that David feels abandoned by God, he still goes to the Lord and he still turns to the Lord. But notice this one question that he keeps repeating. Four times, the very same question as he turns to the Lord in prayer is, how long, O Lord? Very honest, very open. As he cries out to God, as he laments. And this shows us that we, in our suffering, we can go to the Lord. We can ask these very questions. We don't have to be afraid to ask them. We don't have to feel guilty of asking them. This is not going to God and blaming him. Going to God and telling him that what he's doing is wrong. It is going to God about how we feel when we are in the deepest sorrow and deepest pain. And David asks, how long, O Lord? Four times this very same question. In other words, David does not see an end to this trial. He doesn't know it if it will ever end. And he's at the point where he seemingly can't go through it any longer. And he's crying out to God and in his pain, Lord, how long will this continue? How long will this trial go on? How much longer do I have to endure this pain and suffering? Some trials that we face are shorter than others. Some may last for the rest of our lives. Some of the pain and sorrow and sadness from a tragedy, you'll feel that pain for the rest of your life. The pain and sorrow of losing a spouse, a child, a loved one, or the pain and sorrow of a disease that you have that will last the rest of your lives. There are some trials that go on and on and on. And we, like David, cry out and we ask this very same question, or at least we think it, how long, O Lord? I find myself asking this question from time to time. The pain and the sorrow of ministry, or the pain and the sorrow of what Spurgeon felt, the dark night of the soul. And in those times, I cry out, how long, O Lord? David felt forsaken. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Will you forget me forever? Will you abandon me forever? And David feels like in this time of deep sorrow that God doesn't care about him. That God isn't taking care of him. And he's not listening as he cries out to God. There's nothing worse than feeling abandoned by God. We may be forsaken by our friends. We may be forsaken by our family members. We may be forsaken by loved ones. But what about when you feel abandoned by God? Notice again how honest David is. What do we do when we feel abandoned by God? You do what David does. You go to him in prayer and you cry out and you lament and you say along with David, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? O Lord, I feel abandoned by you. I feel forsaken by you. You go to the Lord and you be open and honest about your deepest pain and your deepest struggles. And it goes deeper than that. Not only does David feel like God has forgotten him, but he also feels like God has rejected him. Look at the next question. How long will you hide your face from me? David is saying that, in other words, God has turned against me. He's not for me. God has rejected me. And he cries out, oh Lord, how long will you reject me? How long will you forget me? How long will you abandon me? And in these moments, you need to remember the profound truth that the Lord never forgets you. He never forsakes you. And he never rejects you if you are in Christ. You may feel that way. You may feel that he has abandoned you. You may feel that he has forsaken you, that he has forgotten you, but he will never do so. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. It's in these moments we must cling to the promises of God. Romans chapter 8, and this chapter is dealing with suffering and how even the whole creation groans and suffers as we do. I look at verse 31. We're familiar as we go through Romans chapter 8, and we know of these profound blessings. In fact, we'll back up to verse 26. I think that's important. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And he speaks of this time of suffering, and he says, we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we're familiar with verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So here's the great promise, if you are in Christ, that God has given to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die in place of us and for our sin. And he has been raised from the dead for our justification and salvation. And if we would repent of our sin and if we would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have life eternal. And God is for you. He is not against you. Who, verse 33, will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. We see in verse 26 and following, it's the Spirit of God who intercedes for us in and through our weakness and our suffering and our pain. And also it is the Son of God who intercedes for us and on our behalf. Now listen to verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the hope we cling to. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely nothing. Again, you may not feel that way, especially as David did, when you feel forsaken and you feel forgotten, but those are the promises that we must cling to during these times of sorrow and times of suffering. David, go back to Psalm 13, he turns inwardly. He says in verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? David is now filled with fear and worry and anxiety as he feels abandoned and forsaken and rejected, and this leads to worry. He says, I have sorrow all the time. All throughout the day, I am worried, I am fearful. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long shall I continue to be worried? Then he goes deeper into despair. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Lord, how long will you allow this to continue? So there's a lot of questions being asked. And again, David goes to the Lord in prayer, and he's open and he's honest about how he feels. And again, we need to do the same. We think about so much that has happened this week, and many of us are filled with that sorrow and with that pain and that suffering. Have you gone to the Lord? Have you cried out to him? This is how we lament. So first, we must cry out to God in all honesty. And secondly, we must ask God to answer in our suffering. We must ask God to answer in our suffering. We don't remain in the darkness. There is a way out. There are answers to our suffering and to our sorrow and to our pain. There are answers for us when we do feel forsaken and abandoned and forgotten and rejected by the Lord. And again, notice David continues to go to the Lord in prayer. And I know that sounds simplistic. That sounds like a Sunday school answer. That is not the profound answer you are looking for, but that is the answer. That is a biblical answer that you need to, as David did, turn to the Lord. David did not trust his feelings. He knows that God is good, that God is sovereign, that God has not forsaken him ultimately. He knows that God has not forgotten him. Why and how do I know that? Because notice verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. And that verb there, consider, means to look. He's saying, Lord, look to me, consider me, hear me, listen to me. And he calls out on Yahweh my God. He turns to the Lord and cries out, Lord, answer me, hear me. And he knows that the Lord is his God. And he knows that the Lord will hear him and answer him because he cares for us. An illustration that was used reminded me of our children. When they want something from us, or they want something from me, they'll come and say, Dad, Dad, look, look. They're just trying to get my attention. Come and see. And they keep saying that. Dad, Dad, look, look. And then Sophia, if I'm not looking, she'll come and she'll actually turn my head. Because they're so excited and they want my attention, and they know because of my love for them, I'll give it to them. They know I will hear them, and they know I will respond to them. How much more than with our Heavenly Father? He will hear us, and he does listen to us, and he will respond to us, because that is how good and gracious and kind and compassionate and loving he is. David prays, enlighten my eyes. Give me light. Give me wisdom. Help me in my suffering, in my sorrow, help me to understand how this situation will bring you glory. Help me to know how I can honor you and worship you and glorify you in and through my suffering and in and through my pain. See, that is the prayer of faith. But please understand, David didn't begin there, did he? It took time for him, and I don't know how long it was, but to get to this place where he's turning back to the Lord and trusting in him and asking for wisdom. Lord, help me to glorify you in this. Help me to bring you honor, and then help me to worship you. Yes, we are going to have questions as we go through suffering. And some of those questions we don't have answers to. And I know, again, simplistically, we do need to trust the Lord. We do need to know, as we read in Romans, that he is working all things together for good for his children, and that through our trials, what is he doing? What is his purpose? It is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So we not only cry out to God, there will be a time of lament. There's a time to cry out. There is a time to ask questions, but don't forget to go boldly to the throne of grace and seek out the God of grace and pray that the Lord will hear you, and you can be confident that he will. Matthew Henry said this: days of trouble must be days of prayer. So we cry out to God, and we need to pray for wisdom. You can pray, help me, Lord, to see things as you see them. Help me to understand your ways. Help me to understand your purposes. Help me to know in this moment how I can glorify your name. And Lord, magnify your name through this. And notice that David, as he turns to the Lord, he wants the Lord to act for his name's sake, for his glory. He says this. He says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. Lord, don't allow that to happen for your name's sake. We may not have enemies that are coming after us to take our lives like David, but as James Boyce said, we do have an enemy, don't we? 1 Peter chapter 5 says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So what do we do when we're sinking deep into despair, sinking into doubt, into discouragement? What do we do when we've lost all hope, when we go through trials and temptations and we feel like there's nowhere to go and nowhere to turn? Trust in the Lord, turn to the Lord, and pray and pray and pray. And when you go to him, as we read in that very same chapter of 1 Peter, you cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And Peter goes on to say, also, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He says, after you have suffered for a little while. I know. It seems in our suffering, in our pain, in our trials, it seems like a very long time. It doesn't seem like a short time. And I know through trials it's easy and be tempted to doubt God, tempted to doubt that He is good and merciful and gracious and loving. But again, we come back to the promises of Scripture. We come back to the cross of Christ, where we see God who sent His Son to die in our place for our sins, to bring us to Himself. And you must remember the suffering the Lord Jesus Christ went through to redeem us and bring us to the Father. So you need to cling to the promises we have in Scripture. In your hopelessness and in your despair. And when you pray, Lord, act for your name's sake, for your glory, for your honor. Well, third, we are to trust in and hope in and rejoice in the Lord. Again, David, it took time for him to get there. But David now, as he progresses, is confident as he looks to the Lord that he will be heard and the Lord will answer him according to God's will and His purposes in David's life. How did David get here? How does David, and really how can you come to this place of having such confidence and hope? And again, I stress that it may take time. It may take a long time. Some sorrows and griefs are harder and more difficult than others. But the more that you look to the Lord and you look to His promises, you will find, as David did, that you can trust Him. Look at verse 5. But, I said, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. And this is a decision that David had to make, a decision that no matter what happens, that if he longs for God's name to be praised and honored, glorified, if he prays for God to act for His name's sake, then he can trust God to do what will bring Him glory. David believes at this moment, at this time, that God cares for him, loves him. Notice, I've trusted in your loving kindness. God has been good to him in the past, and he will continue to be good at all times. And in times of deep sorrow, we have to remember how good the Lord has been to us. What He has done for us, and trust that He will continue to do so because He is so kind and so gracious and so compassionate. David trusts in the Lord and puts his hope in the Lord. He says, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." He rejoices in his salvation. He speaks of joy. It's not easy, is it? As we go through suffering, say, how can you have joy? It's not joy in what had happened or joy in the suffering. It is joy in who God is and what God is up to in and through the trial. Here's what you need to know. God never wastes suffering. If we handle it His way, that God has a purpose that He is carrying out for His glory. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. So David finds joy in what God is going to do and how God is going to act for his own name's sake. This doesn't mean that we don't have pain. This doesn't mean that we don't grieve, because we do. But we can rejoice because we know that God is at work in our lives for his own glory. It's amazing as you read through the book of Philippians. Paul says very often, rejoice in the Lord, have joy in the Lord. He uses that word joy in that short epistle 16 times. And you remember, he wasn't in a real joyful situation, was he? He's in prison, going through severe trials. But yet his hope and trust is in Christ. He knows that God is at work in his life, and he will continue to be so. Paul's joy was rooted in Christ, knowing Christ. That's what filled his heart with joy. The more you know Christ, the more you will love Christ, the more you will find joy in Christ. David looks beyond his circumstances. He looks to the future. He looks to what the Lord will do, maybe not even right now, maybe not in this moment, but how God will act for him in the future. We need to anchor our hope in Jesus Christ. We've been looking in Galatians at the inheritance that is ours if we are in Christ. And I love the words in 2 Corinthians 4. Again, Paul is suffering. He is being viciously attacked by false teachers. Paul was a man who suffered greatly. And he says in verse 1 and in verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And then he says this, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. I know right now, in your pain and your suffering and your sorrow, you don't feel like this is a light, momentary affliction. But compared to the eternal weight of glory that we have, that is ours, our suffering doesn't even begin to compare. Our suffering will pale in comparison to our future glory with the Lord. So there came a time for David when the darkness lifted, when he could rejoice in the Lord. And in his rejoicing, he sang. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's not where he began. Remember, he began with questions and doubting and that God had abandoned him. But over time, as he turned back to the Lord and he began to trust in the Lord and he began to pray and he continued to do so, even when he did not feel like it, he started to have confidence in the Lord and then singing and praising and rejoicing once again. Again, I'm not saying that was going to happen overnight, because it doesn't. There have been long periods in my life that I have faced the dark night of the soul, where I felt completely abandoned and forsaken by God. Periods of darkness that went on and on and on. But there came a time, there came a day when God saw fit for that darkness to be lifted. And the only way out was through prayer. Certainly, and my dear wife, who was a great help through those times, and my church family, who was a great help through those times. But the only one who could deliver me from that is the Lord. It's the only one who can make that darkness lift. It doesn't mean that through those times that you won't have grief, even when the darkness lifts, that you don't remember. There's still going to be grief. There's still going to be pain. There's still going to be sorrow. We live in a fallen, broken world. We must look beyond that at times and look to the future. We must cry out as David does, "How long, O Lord?" Because there will be a day when there will be no more tears and no more pain and no more suffering, that we will be with Christ forever and throughout all of eternity. That is the hope we have if we are in Christ. So you need to keep praying and trusting and hoping and pleading with the Lord that one day that darkness will lift. Notice David says that the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. He's been good to me. He's looked after me. And I know you may long for that right now. You may long for that day that the trial ends, the darkness lifts, a day where you can rejoice and sing and praise the Lord. I know right now you may feel abandoned by God. You may feel forsaken. You may feel like the Lord has forgotten you. And my dear friend, please know that you are not alone. Many of Christians have gone through the dark night of the soul. I know you may be suffering with great pain, unceasing sorrow, but the way out is not to turn from the Lord. It is to turn to the Lord in humble prayer. Remember to cast your cares and anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Even though you may not feel that way. Again, even though you may feel the Lord is absent and distant, trust in His word. Trust in His promises. Keep on praying and pleading that the Lord will deliver you and save you from your pain and sorrow and suffering. And pray in the midst of your sorrow that the Lord will act for His name's sake. Pray that He would be glorified through your trials. Pray that He would conform you to the image of Christ. And then in confidence, know that He will answer according to His purposes, according to His plans, and for His glory. And know, my dear Christian friends, there will be a time that the dark clouds will lift, maybe not even here, maybe when you get to glory. But you must wait patiently. The Lord will act in His timing, not yours. And until then, you must press on in prayer, have faith in the one and true living God, and know that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, intercedes for you. And remember the promise that if you are in Christ, that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, and that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Father, our hearts are heavy this morning. Hearts are heavy. And Father, we know there are many suffering here this morning. And I pray, Father, they would cry out to You. Because we ask this question, how long, O Lord? How long will this continue? How long will this go on? We know how hard it is to turn to You in these times. But I pray, Father, that like David, we would turn to you, that we would know how to lament, how to cry out to you, and ask those questions and be open and be honest as David was. And know that it's appropriate and right to lament in our suffering and in our pain. Again, not blaming you, but coming to you and being honest about the way that we feel in those times of such sorrow, such suffering, such pain. So I pray, Lord, for each person who is here today going through times of trial and unceasing sorrow, that they come before you and turn to you. And Father, that we would trust in you and trust in your promises, not how we feel, but in your word. We need to cling to your promises and cling to your truth, that in Christ, you never leave us, you never forsake us, and nothing can separate us from your love in Christ, even though, again, we might not feel that way. We know it's true. So, Lord, help us as the body of Christ in the suffering, in the pain, in the sorrow that we have. Because, Lord, we're hurting. We're hurting. And so, Lord, I pray as well that one day that darkness would lift, that there would be that rejoicing in our hearts and our souls. But for those who are longing for that, we pray, Lord, that you would bring that day and that time according to your purposes and when you seem fit to lift the darkness. Father, we love you. We pray that you help us. We cry out to you, Lord. And we say with David, how long, O Lord? I pray in Christ's name. Amen.